Lord's blessing. Let's turn back to the passage we read together in 2 Samuel and chapter 19. And we'll take for our text verse 37. This is page 272 of the Pew Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 37. And these are the words of Barzillai, so let's read them together. Verse 37, "Please let your servant return, that I may die in my own city, near the grave of my father and my mother. But here is your servant, Chimham. Let him go over with my lord, the king, and do for him whatever seems good to you." In connection with this passage, and especially the reference here, the interaction that we have between David and this man, Barzillai, the Gileadite, from verses 31 down to the end of verse marked 40, what we have here is this interesting dialogue between these two friends. And I read in the last few days somebody who said that this is a lesson for the young. And I suppose that's quite startling, because when we read it, we feel that it's a lesson for the old. And yet the reality is that there isn't really an age restriction, that this is for all of us, young and old, old and those who hope one day to be old. And what is brought before us is the identification of certain priorities that ought to belong to people, and characteristics that we should employ, maybe throughout our lives, from our earliest days and even reflecting back, that we would commit ourselves to having a certain degree of conduct and behavior that we prioritize in our own lives and in our own being and in our interaction with people. And Barzillai displays many different characteristics, and he displays a certain degree of conduct and behavior that we feel are admirable and ought to be learned and considered by ourselves. This man comes here to us, and especially in 2 Samuel chapter 19, although he is mentioned elsewhere, as we'll see in a moment. But he comes specifically to us in one of the greatest episodes in the life of David, that great and awful difficulty that occurred in his own life as he was the king enthroned in Jerusalem, that he himself had to flee for his life and had to go into exile because his own son had made a power grab for the throne and had become to a degree successful. And what outworked from that point of Absalom's coup there was the sense in which the inevitable situation that the army that Absalom had arrayed around himself and the army of David that was commanded by Joab would meet in conflict, and that there could be only one winner of the throne, either David or Absalom. It was a time of a great trial and difficulty in the life of David, and we see the sense of which he is expressing that tension at the end of chapter 18 and at the beginning of chapter 19, where he sees his recovery of his position that God has given to him as the king of Israel, and also the tension that is involved in it, in the deep feeling of the sense of the loss for his own son. And into this time we see, as David is on his way in chapter 19 to return to Jerusalem after coming back from his exile, we see him meeting with different people who have been significant. And in verse 31 of chapter 19, we're brought before this man who displays and demonstrates himself as a friend of the king. I want us just to reflect just briefly here today upon this man and upon what occurs between them in this discussion as they part one from another. And really it comes with power to us in verse in verse 33, where we see, first of all, David's offer to Barzillai. And the offer comes in this way. The king said to him, "Come over with me, and I will provide for you with me in Jerusalem." And here there is very much an emphasis of how David himself is returning from being out with Israel, and his exile took him to a place of safety. And David here recognizes the part that his friend has had to play, the way that he has helped him and looked after him, that David here is giving this offer as a return for the kindness that was shown to him. And we see aspects of this displayed to us in chapter 17 of this book. And at the end of chapter 17, we're told that, verse 27, David came to Mahanaim. And then we're told of a number of people who helped him, and one of them being Barzillai the Gileadite. And then it says to us in verse 28 that they took beds, basins, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans and lentils, honeys and curds, and sheep and cheese from the herd, for David and the people with him to eat. For they said, "The people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." David is in exile in the wilderness, and Barzillai and others come to meet him there. And they come to meet him in recognition of what he and his men are feeling, in their hunger and in their thirst, and in their lack of ability to provide for themselves in that vulnerable position. And David finds for himself here a good friend and a loyal friend. In the midst of the difficulties that he's facing, and as others have turned their backs on David, other people who displayed a disloyalty, this man demonstrates a true loyalty, a genuine friend, a friend who is with you in the most difficult times, in the hardest times, the sense in which David himself would have wept over what his own son did to him, and having to escape for his very life and to leave the land that God has promised him to be king over. And in this difficult circumstance, he finds people who are true friends. Someone here who offers him food to eat and a place of safety, providing for him in his exile and providing to that sense of friendship and counsel to help David on his way. So David's offer in verse 33, "Come over with me and I will provide for you." He is here asking Barzillai to come with him, to repay the favor, to reward him for all his kindness and goodness as he returns to his place of privilege and his place of substance. He was unable to give Barzillai anything prior to this, but he knows he's returning to Jerusalem. He knows he's returning to the palace and returning to sit on the throne as the king of Israel. And he knows that he is able now to return the favor to Barzillai and to display to him the sense of gratitude that he has, and the way that he respects this man, and the way that he has found a man who is a good friend. We're told, of course, that Barzillai is a wealthy man. We believe that he's a landowner and he's able to provide out of his substance. But it's more than this that he gives David. It's that sense of friendship and loyalty. When so few others are willing to stand with David, this man is willing to put himself in a place of danger. Because if things don't work out, if Absalom comes looking for his father, he knows that he's in a vulnerable position, that Absalom would attack Barzillai for protecting David. He's a man who is courageous, who is willing to put himself on the line for others, to display that depth of loyalty, displaying with kindness this sense of humility, to display himself as a good friend, to display himself as the best of friends. And this is how you know who are good friends to you. And there are times that you might go for years with people and you think that they're a friend. But you don't find their true character until you reach crisis point. And so David knows this when he speaks of Ahithophel. And he speaks of him as his familiar friend who ate with him and yet betrayed him. Ahithophel is a man who he thought was his friend, but let him down. But here is a man who is a genuine friend. In the deepest difficulties that David faced in his life, this man stood with him, stood alongside him, wasn't afraid to be associated with him, but showed his loyalty and his courage and his love to David. And so maybe this is why some have said that this is a lesson that is particularly of importance for young people. To consider and think about the kind of people we want to be, the kind of people we will be. Are we going to be like this man? Are we going to display loyalty and honesty and courage, kindness? Will we be there? Will we be good friends? Will we be there when our own friends are in times of great difficulty, when other people turn their backs on them? Will we remain loyal and committed? And what David is doing is really something that we admire also, that he is now in a position to return the kindness shown to him, and he wants to do it as soon as possible. And this speaks too of David's own character, that Barzillai has been loyal to him, and he wants to do what is right by him, what is right by his friend, and the importance of the conduct that has been shown and the willingness to do good. So he wants to do good as well. David recognizes that he has an opportunity, that Barzillai had an opportunity from God to show David good, and he took that opportunity. Now David thinks, it's my opportunity, it's my time to do good. And he says to him in verse 33, come over with me. And it's an offer more than just a meal. It's an offer in verse 33. I'll provide for you with me in Jerusalem. You come and stay in Jerusalem. You come and be a citizen of the royal city. You come and I'll provide a place for you. I'll provide comfort for you. I'll provide room for you at my table. You'll eat there. And of course, David too acknowledges in this offer of what Barzillai means to him. He not only has been a loyal friend, but he has been a good counselor. And he wants his counsel. He wants this man to be alongside him. This is someone he can trust. And when more troubles will come into David's life, this is the kind of man he wants beside him, and the kind of man whose fellowship that he longs for. But Barzillai responds from verse 34, to object and to reject the offer that has been given. He is dismissing the offer because he is coming here alongside David on this journey for a specific reason, the reason from the outset. In verse 36, your servant's going a little way over the Jordan with the king. I just want to fulfill what I've intended to do at the beginning of this journey. That he's left his home and his family and everything else there, and he wants to go to see David recover his kingdom. He wants to take his friend home safely, to cross into that border, to stand on the border with David and to say to David, this is your kingdom. This has all come back to you today, to make sure that there is no threat on his life, to be able to say to David, you're standing here on this land, you're king. You're king of this land. This is your kingdom and this is your territory. To see him safely there, rightfully in his position as the king of Israel. David wants more for Barzillai. He wants him to go further. He wants him to continue into Jerusalem and to stay there. And Barzillai doesn't entertain it. He offers a number of objections, the first of which are the objections of age and ambition. And he says that both of these are against him. In verse 34, how many years have I still to live? In verse 35, this day I'm 80 years old. Verse 32 told us he's a very aged man. Again in verse 32, he then speaks, moving on from the age, he speaks then of, can your appetite, can I discern what is pleasant and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats or what he drinks? Can I still listen to the voice of singing men and singing women? And so he speaks of his age as being a problem. And he declares to David that he's an old man. And he says this is a problem for him. Interestingly, 80 years was not a problem for Moses. Moses recognized that 80 years was the point in which God called him to go to Pharaoh and to lead out the children of Israel from Egypt and to lead them for 40 more years. And he had vigor and strength. And yet, for people, the years of their lives aren't always the same. And for some people at a certain age, there is a different element of vibrancy and strength and power that maybe doesn't belong to somebody of the same age. Rather than see this as the time of opportunity to engage in more, here this man, Barzillai, recognizes that for him marks 80 years, bringing in the last days of his life. Verse 37, let your servant return that I might die in my own city near the grave of my father and my mother. And what Barzillai recognizes here is that the grave is calling him. It's not like Moses where God is calling him out of Egypt, calling him out into the wilderness. Here it is the grave it's calling him. He has the attentiveness of his own being to recognize that he's in his last days. And he speaks of the failure of ambition in verse 35, the inability to discern what is pleasant in terms of appetite, what he tastes or eats, or even in terms of enjoying music and entertainment. And he says, these things have all gone. There is no longer that hunger and desire of ambition to experience new things. There's a lack of interest in extravagance. He's rather more content in the simplicity of his life as it is. He says he's no longer captivated by these things. And he no longer has an interest for change in the way that he once did. And also he says in verse 35 that he doesn't want to be a burden to the king. And so he speaks in that regard. And he speaks here to the king in that way, in the manner in which he's speaking of being the fear of being burdensome to others. And he worries and he's anxious that if he went to Jerusalem, that's what he would be to David. And David doesn't see that and he doesn't understand that. He doesn't think that his friend is a burden to him. But Barzillai recognizes himself that this is the time where he needs to retreat to his own land and his own home and in his own situation. Which leaves us the question of what is it that Barzillai actually wants? When we come to recognize that there is a failure of natural discernment, it doesn't necessarily mean that there is a failure of spiritual discernment. In fact, spiritual discernment is heightened in the recognition of everything that's going on around him and in the recognition of what God is doing in his life. He recognizes his own limits, his own limitations. He recognizes his own circumstances. He recognizes that time is precious. Time is precious. especially when the grave is speaking so powerfully and so clearly. And he believes he needs to be at home. In verse 37, he speaks of wanting to be there in his own city near the grave of his father and mother. And there, really, there is an intention to be buried alongside them, alongside his own people. And yet, in his own age, in 80 years, being called a very aged man in verse 32, there is a sense of which the past memories are coming so powerfully and strongly to him, where his youth now is being appreciated all the more. Not forgotten by him, but there is part of the blessing of old age, reflecting back on what has been learned in youth, reflecting what has been learned on his mother's knee, what has been taught to him by his father. Now, these people would have passed away a long time ago, but their memory is so fresh to him, and the recognition there too of the spiritual investment of his youth. Being here brought to him in his mind and his thinking, in the maturity of his days and his age. The importance of the church, of parents, of grandparents, investing spiritually in the lives of the youth. Just as it is done for you. One of the great blessings in our own communities is that people used to learn the scripture. And you meet with them now in their advanced years, and you meet with them in their homes, and they're able to quote scripture that they learned in their youth, the word of God that was invested to them, that they learned off by heart. And at time, maybe it meant very little to them, but today it's precious to them. And there are other things that they learned during their lives that they forgot. But what is learned in youth is of extremely great value. It is so precious to people. It is one of the great influences in your life. And it reaps what has been sown. And for Barzillai, he thinks about that unique influence of his life, his own parents, and the example that they gave to him. And so for many Christians too, there is a recognition of the influence of parents and grandparents in their youth, in the investment of their spiritual good, and how it reaps rewards much later on. And when we think of Barzillai and the truths of his lives, we see of the reward of investing in youth, of the grave and the reality of it and the need to prepare for it. And also in terms of Barzillai's own commitment here, the resignation to his circumstance and the providence that God has given him. He could easily have gone to Jerusalem, but he feels it's no use to him. Not now. And thirdly and finally, in verse 37 and 38, when he speaks there of his lack of discernment, he makes his own request in verse 38. Chimham, he speaks of there. And he asks David to take Chimham instead of him. Now, many people believe that Chimham was a son of Barzillai. And he's saying to David, let this man, let my son possibly be my substitute. Let him take my place. Let him go to Jerusalem. Let him go and stay there. Let him go and sit at your table. And here is a further recognition of Barzillai, that not only does he see the end of his own days, he sees that it is the beginning of days for Chimham. It is the days of Chimham, and it is the days of David. And it's their time and their opportunity and their turn to receive all of that pleasure and all of that enjoyment. And we see that Barzillai's own request is one that is sensible and acceptable. It's acceptable to David, because when he returns to Jerusalem and he sits there at the feast. He looks down at the table and he sees Chimham and he thinks of Barzillai and of his friend and of how good he was to him and of the sacrifices he made for him and of his kindness and his loyalty and his love. And he is there as this great substitute for Barzillai. And Chimham himself, he goes and he takes his place and he sits there and he sits there and he says, I'm here because of what others have done. I'm here because of what other people have done. I'm here because of their kindness and their goodness and their sacrifice. I'm here because of grace, because of what others have done. It's recorded, of course, again for us. David doesn't forget this in 1 Kings and in chapter 2 and verse 7. He speaks there to Solomon as Solomon is ascending the throne and as David faces his own death. He says, deal loyally with the sons of Barzillai. Let them be among those who eat at your table. For with such loyalty they met with me when I fled from Absalom, your brother. And he's there telling Solomon not to forget this man, Chimham, because of the kindness of his father. And again in Jeremiah, in chapter 41, we have the mention of this place in verse 17. That's called there Gerith Chimham, near Bethlehem. And what the commentators say about that place that's named after this man is that David must have given him land. He gave him a place. And the place is named after him. But it wasn't land from the royal retinue. It was in Bethlehem. It was part of the land that David received from his own father. Part of his own personal treasury. Not the royal treasury. And what we see here in the request of Barzillai is the employment of self-denial. He could have gone himself to Jerusalem. He could have insisted on his own way. He could have said, this is my earned right. But Barzillai, in his old age, he humbles himself. He denies himself. He does what is going to help others. What he is engaged in doing is passing on the blessing and ensuring his own son will have a place of privilege. Passing on the blessing of the king to the generations. And it requires that sense of self-denial. It requires that sense of the desire that this would be done. It requires a genuine humility and concern for that blessing to continue. And this interaction ends in verse 39. All the people went over the Jordan, and the king went over, and the king kissed Barzillai, blessed him, and returned to his own home. They part, probably for the last time. David will probably never again see his friend. And David expresses his love. He kisses his friend. And he expresses his gratitude. And he expresses his prayerful spiritual concern. He blesses him. And they part. And Barzillai returns home. And David goes to Jerusalem. Here is a wonderful narrative in an important time in the life of David. And something that he never forgot. And it displays a man to us who had discernment. A man aged and helping David, who knew the times, who knew what was right and what was good, who knew the proper thing to do, who knew that in his own old age he required to invest in the youth of others, as his own youth had been invested in too. He knew what it was to be a good friend, to have loyalty and courage. And he knew that sense of spiritual self-abasement and humility that sacrifices in order that they would not hinder what is good for the life of others and the life of the church, but that the blessings of God would be passed on, that even his own seed would sit at the table of the king. Isn't this a great example for us? Not just in terms of natural affection, but spiritual affection too. In the reality of what God is calling us to do and to be. And sometimes we question, what can we do? We can say that many things are against us, maybe even say that our age is against us. But God is calling us still to that sense of discipleship that denies self and seeks what is good for our own soul and for the good of the community and for the good of the church and for the good of following generations. And that we identify and realize the importance and value of grace, and to display it in our own character, that it's perfectly permissible for us to insist on our own ways, to insist on everything that we feel we've earned, to feel that we're not in the place for change, that we don't have the appetite for it, but to see that God is calling us for something greater. And he's challenging us to think of others and to think of what is good in order that there would be a lasting legacy of the blessing of God. May it be so that God would bless these things to us. Let's pray together. We thank you and bless you and praise you for your goodness and kindness, Lord, and we pray that you would help us to be the people of God, to have a true, genuine character that displays what is good and proper and what is glorifying to God and glorifying to salvation work. Bless each one of us, we pray, and bless to those whom we hold in our hearts, and forgive us our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing then to God's praise from Psalm 103 at verse 13. This is page 370. Such pity as a father hath unto his children dear. Like pity shows the Lord to such as worship him in fear. For he remembers we are dust, and he our frame well knows. Frail man, his days are like the grass, as flower in field he grows. For over it the wind doth pass, and it away is gone, and of the place where once it was, it shall no more be known. But unto them that do him fear, God's mercy never ends. And to their children's children still, his righteousness extends. We're standing to sing praise to God and remain standing for the benediction. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.